In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over churning chaos, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And all that God said, it was so. And behold, God saw that it was very good. Not perfect. Good. Very good. Very good indeed, but not perfect. This week, a bitterness was stirred in my mind that tries never to go there. For a week or two, I visited a grave faithfully. It was a year or two, I visited a grave faithfully almost every week, just a couple of minutes. And then a few times a year now, maybe once a month, and instead of getting out to go visit, I may drive to the end of the road, make a U-turn, break the car, and stop because the gravesite is right there by the roadside. And I pause my car and roll down the car window, read the gravestone to make sure it's still outrageously true, even after all these years. I say, "Hello, Bill," at least in my mind. Let my foot off the brake and slowly ease on down the road, out the gate, back into life, creation. My stirring this week was reading the New York Times obituary of Joseph Polchinski, 63 years old, the same age roughly as my friend. Polchinski, physician and cosmologist, he, like my friend, died of brain cancer, which was the stirring connection, the enraging imperfection of God's creation. A scholar and a man of many talents, my friend Bill was incredibly talented, intelligent, generous, wise, loving, kind. Joseph Polchinski explored and theorized about our universe of some 200 billion galaxies. Do you have any idea how wide our own galaxy is? Our little Milky Way galaxy is only 100,000 light years across in God's creation. Polchinski was into boundless, theoretical, incomprehensible, but scientifically demonstrable 10 to the 500th power other universes. Other universes, the multiverse, other universes in the vast imagination of our God, who is not too small. And God, who, through his eternally begotten Son, loves you, loves even me, us. This bread, which we will put in your hand in a few minutes, this bread, this little wafer with a lamb imprinted on it, means Jesus loves you. That's what it means. And as you eat the bread, Jesus becomes part of you and you him. Behold the Lamb of God. 10 to the 500th power universes in creation. And here in our one immense universe, in our small galaxy, our little bitty solar system, Earth, that is but a speck of dust in God's mind, Jesus loves you. Loves you. The only begotten Son came here for one reason and one reason only, because God loves you, and even me. And yet whose creation, specifically whose earth is not perfect, good, very good, but far from perfect, and a perfect creation, my friend Bill, or a brilliant scientist like Joseph, or your loved one would not have died so. Psalm 116, today's English Bible, that particular translation, has a verse that says, "How painful it is to the Lord when one of his people dies. Thank God. But then be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," taking nothing from the heavenly Father. Perfect human life is not possible in his imperfect creation. As we go into Lent, heralded by today's spectacular fireworks of Elijah carried away into heaven in a chariot of fire drawn by horses of fire, and Christianity's grand epiphany, Jesus on the mountaintop with Moses and Elijah, Moses for the law and Elijah for the prophets, and a cloud, a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Follow him." Perfect, sinless before Satan and the world, follow him in the way of the cross, becoming Jesus. As you follow, you will never become Jesus. But your role as a baptized disciple is in the becoming. This becoming Jesus mandate of your baptism is my one and only proclamation to you and for you as long as I'm allowed to step into the pulpit. But now this. As with Peter, James, and John, we go back down the mountain into Lent. Lent is time both for giving up and for taking on, for doing. My clinging bitterness, anger at God over the death of Bill, and now the senseless death of Joe Polchinski. And looking back all those years to my, at the time, very fragile faith and highly doubtful question, can the faith of Tom Weller survived the death of William Hall? William, who died senselessly at age 7 the summer after his second grade year at Holy Nativity Episcopal School nearly 2 decades ago. The question stirs again to life in my mind, and my anger seeps out again for the injustice and the imperfection of what God has created. The stony silence from heaven in answer to my fervent prayers. And in the hospital ICU, those years ago, my promise whispered over and over again in a little boy's ear, "Jesus loves you, William. Jesus loves you, William. Jesus loves you." God's creation. If, then, if the hymn has it right, all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above, then heaven also has to take the rap for the Creator's mistakes and oversights that leave us such anguish, pain, and grief. Now, my taking on, my doing this Lent is about the Good Book Club, which started this morning, together as a church, church-wide, a diocese, parish, and each member, if you will, we walk through the gospel according to Luke and read through that. I'm doing that with you. And I hope that you will take it up and join in that project, because I mean for it to be just as much fun as our adult Sunday school class always is. It's a lot of fun. And that's my taking on, my doing for Lent with you. On the dark side, very personally, my giving up for Lent is ignited like the flaming horses in the fiery chariot of Elijah by Polchinski's obituary that I began with just a moment ago. My ongoing bitterness, anger with God for the imperfections of creation. I am not talking about our growing old and wearing out, but that the best and most beloved of us can die so absurdly. That Adam, we earthlings created in the divine image by word or from dirt, can die of the crouching insidious, that we hate and kill each other self-righteously, vengefully, cruelly. God help us, what a divine image. In the beginning, Cain, so hating his brother as to invite him out to the field for a stroll in the field together, and Cain departing alone, Abel's blood soaking the ground. Israelites wiping out Canaanite populations, man, woman, child, and all animals, and Achan and I punishing each other with unspeakable cruelty. Our godly image, our godly heritage. And if you don't understand this, then either enroll in EFM or read Joshua, the book of Joshua this Lent. So my Lenten task is forgiveness of all that. Forgiving my Creator for evil that lurks in the nature of creation, unjustifiable suffering, pain, death, grief. For the evil that in God's name we earthlings do to each other. So forgiveness, but also healing, healing my own healing, healing myself, letting myself heal. Somehow to let go of anger, my lingering bitterness, and the strain unto breaking of my often shattered faith, stirred by outrages that would never have been in a perfect creation. Why, God? William Hall, Bill Lloyd, Joe Polchinski, you have your own names. List. Will my forgiving God comfort God this Lent? I do not know whether God will be blessed by my forgiveness. My knowledge of God is not that great, so I know not. I do know that our ordinary is confession, counseling, penance, and then absolution, but unless the extraordinary happens this Lent, this will all be one way. But I'll be blessed. I'll be blessed. The blessing of forgiving others, including forgiving the holy other, and especially one way, is to bring peace, and I expect to find peace in that peace. I'll be going for that this Lent. And although this is quite personal, I'm sharing this from the secrets of my mind and the depth of my heart, in case you also need to forgive, even if it's only one way. Almighty God, unto all whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse, cleanse this bread. Means Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you.